On this episode of ITAV, we take a look at some interesting Zoom backend permissions. Apparently, they're connecting with Facebook and giving some of your information to Facebook. We talk about the implications of that. Also, look at working from home and the technology needs and impacts that is having. All that and more next on ITAV.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is ITAV, episode 40, recorded Friday, March 27th, 2020. In this together.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by Kramer, AV Beyond the Box.
This is ITAV, the monthly look at the IT and the AV industries and how they come together and help each other out. My name is Tim Albright. I am your host with us to discuss the news and information we have gathered for y'all this month. First and foremost, Mr. Brad Colt from HGA. Welcome, sir.
Hey there, Tim. It's great to see you.
Great to see you. You're in a fancy, schmancy. Right, yeah, you're in a fancy, schmancy studio.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm on the set of The Office, so... and the reason I'm on the set of The Office is because my buddy Michael Drainer is a huge fan of Michael Scott and The Office. So how are you, sir?
Doing very well. No virtual sets here, only the real thing for me.
Yeah, whatever. is that a real guitar? Do you really play that?
This thing back here? This?
It's a real guitar. It's a real guitar.
But can it's you a real really guitar.
Play it?
It plays. I don't play.
No, I said, do you play?
What's that?
Do you play?
Oh, no.
Okay.
When's the last time that was tuned?
Exactly. When was the last time that was tuned? All right. Let's get
it's really out of tune. Actually, I've been about 2 weeks ago. I got it down.
It was probably still out of tune.
I've been trying to teach myself, but it hasn't been going very well. I'm an old keyboard guy.
You're social distancing, so you should have plenty of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. From our friends over at Vice, Zoom iOS app sends data to Facebook, even if you don't have a Facebook account. Interesting. Real quickly, we do use Zoom. They don't pay us. We pay them, actually, on a monthly basis. So not any sort of a sponsorship craziness here. But from the article, the sort of data transfer is not common, this sort, especially for Facebook. Plenty of apps use Facebook's Software Development Kit SDK as a means to implement features into their apps more easily, which also has the effect of sending information back to Facebook. As a ton of you and a ton of us are working from home, WFH, you're using Zoom, most likely. It is the big kahuna. It is the big gorilla. There are over 200 soft video codecs. So if you don't like Zoom or don't like this feature, you can use something else. It does allow you to log in via Zoom or via Facebook. You can also log in via Google as well. Brad, we'll start with you on this. People have brought this up as a privacy concern, especially if you don't have Facebook. But if you don't have Facebook, what sort of information are we really kind of exposing ourselves to, or exposing our information to them?
Yeah, it's a good question, because Facebook, whether you know it or not, whether you have an account or not, has a shadow profile on you. So They're working with all of these companies that are big data aggregators that are collecting as much as they can to try and profile us to make a better pitch to advertisers for how they could target ads at you. So that part of it is something that if we're not clued into, we should be aware of. It's hard to stay away from Facebook, even if you try. But I think the bigger part of it with the way that Vice is describing this situation is that this isn't something that's very well disclosed in Zoom's terms of service. And that's, I think, the part of it that could be corrected and made more explicit so that people are able to make an informed choice about how their information is being shared. That's the part that I get more and more afraid of, that we don't even know how to make that choice. We can't even be good consumers of this technology and can't give feedback to these companies. So I'm glad it's getting exposed. And kind of go a step further in this situation, I'm expecting that as we're starting to use more technologies, we're looking at things a little bit differently, that we're going to have more light shed on things like this. And kind of the complement to that is we have news cycles that are dominated by one topic and one topic only. This COVID and coronavirus, that it's easy for other shifty dealings to be swept under the rug as these news cycles are turning over so fast. And the one that's really getting under my skin is the proposed weakening of encryption with the EARNIT Act that is sponsored by Graham and Blumenthal. And that, again, it's something that I personally feel strongly we should not be weakening encryption. But more than anything, I think it's something that as citizens of this great free country, we need to be thinking about what civil liberties are we willing to give up in a time of crisis, and making those decisions with our eyes wide open and thinking about how those are temporary measures that get turned back over, and having the watchdogs in place to make sure that when this is over, we return to normal, that the correct rule of law and the correct governance is applied.
Michael, same kind of question, and then I want to tackle that for a second, Fred. But first question is, how as workers, right, your company standardizes on a platform, and we'll pick on Zoom here because that's what the story's about. Then you never use Zoom, and you don't have a Facebook account, and suddenly, you know, Facebook has a shadow profile, as Brad puts it, on you. What are some of the protections you can do to safeguard your information, or can you?
So, unfortunately, in this situation, there's not much you can do to safeguard your information if you're going to use the product. And that is an inherent limitation, that you can't just opt out of sharing that content. It's built into their architecture. It's how their system works at this stage of the game. Now, that said, we've really developed a culture where we want to use a product, we just click those terms of service and say, yep, I agree, accept, because I want to use this product, without really understanding the ramifications of doing so. I've always said, and many folks have said this, nothing is free, right? If something is free, there's a reason it's free. It's either a community crowdsourced product, such as the case with open source software, or there's data. Data is the payment for free use. And we know that with organizations like Facebook and Google, that's how they make their money, is on our data. They don't make it selling advertising. They make it selling us, selling our behaviors, selling our tendencies, selling our likes, our dislikes. That is truly the product, is us and our information. The same holds true with Zoom in this case, is that information is very valuable. When they're offering a free product, there is a price to pay for that. And I think as organizations, especially smaller organizations, we tend to really gloss over a lot of that and say, okay, this product does what I need it to do. Yep, click the terms of service, let's go. We don't have big legal teams such as the large corporations looking at these terms of service and making sure that these products fit within our risk management profile as an organization. And even so, obviously, there are large organizations that didn't know that this was the case because it wasn't properly disclosed. So there's two issues here. One is, we as consumers, whether businesses or individuals, don't take the time to truly understand what we're using. And two, the service provider in this case has not done their due diligence to make sure that they're properly disclosing, according to Facebook's terms, what they should be disclosing to the consumer. So those are both areas of great concern.
Okay, so let's go back to one of the issues that Brad raised up now. I'm going to bring up a piece of legislation that happened 20 years ago, and that's the Patriot Act. Mm-hmm. That happened during a time of crisis and was continually renewed over and over again without a whole lot of debate. Actually, during grad school, I did a content analysis on how many times the media actually covered the Patriot Act the first time it passed. Short story, it didn't. There was a very, very few stories until it actually had passed, and then it was very few. So, Brad, as folks here in the U.S., or regardless of where you are in the world, as citizens, how do you maintain kind of vigilance over what's happening to your freedoms during this time, but also how do you keep your legislatures and your representatives held accountable?
I'm going to be counting on the watchdogs that are able to keep bird-dogging this, because there's too much going on for any one person to pay attention to. So trying to make sure that as those things are hitting my news feed that I am aware of it and able to take some action. So I've written to my congresspeople numerous times over the past several weeks about things that I think are important. But to touch on another point you make, that these things are getting just slammed through Congress faster than they're able to really be evaluated, because we have these emergency situations, we have to have a response to it. I think we've seen some of those things going on here with the latest financial bailouts that are going on, or just having to make these things happen quick enough to be able to get to people, and it's already too late. So there isn't a lot of time for public debate, and you can debate whether or not that's there should be or not. I think we need to balance being able to move quickly and being able to regulate at the same time. So some of this will happen in retrospect. But you kind of look at the same thing with Zoom, where we've got these huge terms of service, and even those companies with large legal departments, they're having to implement this stuff so fast for these workers because this is moving so quickly that they're not able to go through and figure all that stuff out. I know that we've got large corporations in the Twin Cities that have had to implement Zoom for their 50,000 employees, and they just need something that's going to be stable and is going to work, and they're going to have to come back and look at some of these other things later, and we're all going to have to keep holding the people in power and the people that we're using services from accountable.
Well, and if I could just dovetail on that, I think it's important to not just jump on the bandwagon, right? Like Tim said, there are many, many different platforms out there. Zoom, WebEx, GoToMeeting are three of the big ones, to name a few. There's Skype for Business. There's Google Hangouts. There's a ton of different things that you can utilize. And even HHS, the Health and Human Services, has realized that privacy is a big deal in HIPAA, but that they've had to lighten the restrictions on HIPAA enforcement of video conferencing due to the current state of affairs, right? But does that still bring exposure if things are being shared in a way that they shouldn't be shared from these platforms? So we have to do our homework, right? We've got to truly understand what it is that we're doing. We do have to move quickly, but don't just jump on the bandwagon, right? Take just a few moments to slow down. And I'm going to put a little shameless plug in here. And Tim, you can cut this out if you want to. But, you know, we offer a platform that is your platform. It doesn't run on somebody else's servers. And there are those options out there. Don't just jump on the public networks. Yes, it's fast, but understand those risks going in, and that, you know, we've seen issues with these platforms not being able to keep up with the load at certain times. Is that going to be critical to your operation if you have to get 50,000 people on a town hall? Do you have the ability through these public networks to be able to do that, or are you better off looking at a private solution? Yeah, it might take you just slightly longer to deploy, but you're able to manage that risk a little bit more effectively.
And our latest buzzword is the new normal, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to recognize the onset of that. That came on, you know, relatively quickly, transitioning back to whatever the normal will be as we get through this together. We're not going to be able to recognize that transition as clearly, because that's going to happen slowly over time. So recognizing when it is time to start rolling back some of these things will be a little bit of a challenge for us.
Yep.
Michael, you're so cute. You assume that I'm editing this anymore. So that's Mitchell's job. All right. Actually, from Mr. Colt. Mr. Colt wrote a piece for his company, HGA, on their site, and he was kind enough to give it to us to post it on our site. You can go to their site or our site. I don't care. It's a good piece, though. Talking about the technology as we all socially distance and work from home. Brad, I'm going to read a piece here, a quote, and kind of ask you to comment on it. Quote-unquote, as consumers of online technologies, what can we expect in the coming days and weeks? Before the coronavirus, online video for streaming and collaboration accounted for 70% of all peak internet traffic. That number is expected to rise as a result of our response to this virus. I was talking with some residential dealers, actually both yesterday and today, about this business opportunity once we do get back to normal and we're all, you know, not inside our house. There is a business opportunity here, and we do need to be cognizant of the fact that a lot of folks are realizing that their networks suck. They're just not good, you know, both from a bandwidth capability, but also, quite frankly, from a security capability. So as we all kind of ramp up onto this new virtual world, Brad, what can, you know, the IT professionals and the AV folks, what can we do to help each other out and to shore up, you know, our networks and to shore up the technology that we depend on now, today, and this may very well, you know, be our new normal.
I think we've already started to see a lot of that stuff taking place as people have had to shift to the work from home posture. So what I'm expecting is that a lot of those projects that had been further down the roadmap are suddenly prioritized and getting the funding that they need to be moving forward. So we've seen that in our office, where we're moving from the VPN service that we had to a VPN that's able to handle the capacity and the load. We're using split tunneling now to make sure that we're managing our traffic so that only the traffic that needs to hit our network does. But as we're doing our other Netflix viewing and surfing the web while we're connected to that VPN, that's going through our own home networks. So being a balance between both seeming to help us be pretty highly available. I've been surprised. I'd been predicting in that article we'd see a little bit more glitches and bumps and slowdowns, but I haven't seen that come to pass very much with a couple of small exceptions. Yeah. I think, you know, teams went down for a few minutes that some people experienced didn't seem to impact the entire network. So I think that it's all the way from the ISPs who have a strong backbone. And I'm seeing stories about some of the cellular carriers who are getting to have spectrum reallocated from the FCC, Dish Network, sharing spectrum to be able to make sure that we have that bandwidth. But cellular is not really where it's been hit too hard because a lot of people are home connected to their Wi-Fi. And so it's up to the service providers like Zoom to make sure that they're scaling up and able to handle that sort of stuff. And I think, again, they're doing a pretty good job from what we've been seeing. And then you get back into the last mile, which I think is where people are probably going to be struggling with the most, and managing their own home networks. I've had jokes from people as we're on calls and Zoom says your bandwidth is low, this is getting choppy, and people on the other end joking, oh man, the technology guy network isn't holding up. How are we all supposed to get by? And it is something where we're looking at how do we manage our bandwidth on a personal level, and we've said, all right, we're not going to be streaming during the day, and work is going to take priority. And then that's seeming to help on our end. Just one idea.
No, absolutely.
You know, that's a good. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point because even here in my house, we've deployed a firewall that has traffic shaping, right? Gone are the days of being able to just go to Walmart and buy a residential router to serve those needs. You go back to what is the new normal? Well, the new normal is for the remote worker. You may have to add some technology that can guarantee bandwidth and availability for certain applications, and that's going to create a whole other subset of management needs into those networks. You know, I was talking to my wife and I were talking about this just last night, that we are extremely blessed to live in the era that we do and have access to the technologies that we do in light of this outbreak and everything that's going on, because you know, in decades prior, we could not have scaled as fast as we could have, or as fast as we are now. We didn't have the access to the bandwidth. We're very fortunate that the cellular carriers in this 5G transition have already been fortifying their backbones, right? All of that's already been in progress for a number of years now. And so we've had the capacity to deal with those issues. And I think that's extremely powerful that we do live in that era right now.
So let me ask you guys, either of you can answer this, and it's somewhat snarky, right? And this, I didn't say this, I didn't write this, but it was, oh good Lord, a day or two after all of this work from home and all of us got sent home and this and the, and just for the record, just so it's been said, AV Nation offices are closed. I am working here. I am the only one working here. Mitchell, our editor, our producer, he is working from home, has been for 2 weeks. He edits at home. Lenore, our editor-in-chief, she lives and works in Tulsa. So she's never actually been to this office. So one of the main reasons for that is I have a sixth grader and an eighth grader who are learning the wonders of Google Classroom and sucking up our bandwidth. So Brad, instead of saying, hey, we're not going to stream during the day, I just come here. One of the snarky things that came out, I don't know which social media, when all of the carriers started lifting their caps, right? It was said in different corners of the internet, isn't it amazing how suddenly those caps were not necessary? They were just, you know, revenue streams. Mm-hmm. And they were. And God, you know, it's capitalism. It's the system that we have. But it's an honest question here. Is it really, are we going to go back to the time where all of us are like, you know what, you didn't need those caps. So I'm happy to pay a little bit extra to not have those caps. Is it something where we're going to have to start keeping the technology providers, them accountable, just like we are the legislatures, Brad, keep them accountable for saying, hey, look, you know what, guys, you're keeping some stuff from some people who need it. not only, you know, the workers, but also some from some folks on the fringes who legitimately do need some of these services now.
I'll lead off on that. And I think that through this forced adoption, as we've accelerated everybody through this experience, that now we've just strengthened our forces of people who have an opinion about this. And we have a louder voice that we can now take to these providers and hopefully have some influence over them and snap and say, we're not going to take it anymore. So I hope that that does come to pass and that that's not just wishful thinking. But I'm also, a couple other points, I'm also really impressed seeing a lot of the folks who have not been traditional technology adopters realizing that as they just dig into it for a little bit, they can figure it out and it's not as hard as they expected it was. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to see people take advantage of a lot more of the features of Zoom, a lot more of the features of all of our different collaboration tools that we're using. And they're diving in, and I'm so inspired by the way that people have really adapted to this transition. But the other point you touch on is really try and take that time to be empathetic and remember how grateful we are for being able to still have jobs. Mm-hmm. People still connect. People have these places where we can work in safety. And there are plenty of people out there who are underprivileged, underserved, that are losing their access to the outside world and connectivity and information in this age where it is so important. And the internet is proving itself to be that fourth utility as we have libraries closing, community centers closing. So working with the city of St. Paul on a economic development initiative for technology, small businesses and startups. And they have enumerated all the different places that people in need can go and get access to hardware and get access to connectivity and opening up the municipal Wi-Fi networks. And so I encourage people in their own areas to get involved, find out what programs are there. You might not be the person in need today, but you might be tomorrow. So give what you can right now. Try and find a way to get connected and whatever skills you have, whatever time you have, whatever money you have. I know everything's uncertain right now, but I would encourage people, please find a way to go do some good, because if you have it, there's probably other people out there who really could use some help.
Yep. Now, Brad and I were talking before the show that, you know, we're all in this boat together as a society. We're in this boat together, or we're going down this river together, but we're all in different boats. There's some of us that are in fortified battleships, right? We've got our jobs, we're collecting our paychecks, we're able to cruise down with little impact, right? But then there's others that are in canoes and kayaks, and yet others who are trying to swim against the rapids. And even though we're in this together, it's a different journey for every single one of us. And to not assume anything about anybody's situation. And so I love what you're saying there. If you're able to help, help. If you're in need, go seek help, right? Everybody's in this together. But I want to come back to something else that you mentioned there, Tim, talking about the voice and Brad's optimism and being able to have that voice to the providers. Where there's options, we have that voice. Unfortunately, a lot of our country doesn't have options when it comes to carriers. They're very limited in those options when it comes to telecommunications and internet services. And I think going through this whole event has really shown not the luxury, but the necessity of connectivity. And it starts to raise the question of, is internet, you know, let's revisit that. Is this a utility? Is this a regulated utility industry? Or is it a luxury that private corporations are providing and they can do exactly what Tim said? And yeah, we can enforce data caps and we can charge extra just because we want to make more money for our shareholders. That's a different scenario than saying we're a regulated utility and you have to provide the service that's economically feasible for everybody for equal access, right? So I think there's going to be some debates that come out of this on the backside as to the validity of internet service providers as a utility or as a luxury.
Yeah, I think that's that right there is exactly what's going to happen, Michael, is that we're going to have that conversation again, right? Whether that, and then this goes back to net neutrality, it really does, guys, and that's a whole other can of worms. Yep. I don't want to get into today, to be frank about it. So, but I think that will kind of revisit that debate. So, all right, guys, that is going to do it for us. Mr. Brad Colt from HGA, thank you, sir.
Thanks to both of you. It's been great to be able to talk with some folks outside of my own home.
How do people get a hold of you or HGA?
You can find me on LinkedIn. It's Brad Colt, KULT, And HGA is hgA.com and at HGA on all your social medias.
Very good. And Mr. Drainer, how do people get a hold of you or Drainer Technologies?
LinkedIn as well, Michael Drainer, D-R-A-I-N-E-R, and DrainerTech.com is our website. Visit there, and if you've got a question, just fill out the little form at the bottom. We'll get back to you right away.
Very good. For us, for AV Nation, don't follow me on the Twitters. I think last night was a discussion about wine clubs with some other folks in gin clubs. And anyhow, yeah, I would say that I'm rooting for the Blues, but I'm not because there's no sports going on. So
actually, the NHL's replaying the entire
season. Did see that. Yep. I did.
And did you see that WWF is opened up their entire library for free? So we can go back to our childhood and see Rowdy Roddy Piper.
The World and Wildlife Federation?
Yeah. Or it was either WWE or WWF. One of them opened it up.
The World Wildlife Federation.
Yeah. Well, World Wrestling Federation.
No, they were there the too. World Wrestling Entertainment now. Come on, Michael.
Well, yes, yes.
What about esports coming into their own? As now you have those professionals who are the ones being put behind the controllers, and NASCAR is doing it, IndyCar is doing it, and some others where they're going to be putting on some simulated races using
almost
video
like
games.
Gaming.
So here's what's ironic is the data center where we host our PBXs, they're in the process right now of deploying 700 new servers for e-gaming. That's growing in the aisle next to us. So that's a constantly emerging space.
Absolutely.
We need it. I don't want to trivialize the situation, but let's find the ways to keep our spirits up and unite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so e-gaming is still, and you can do it remotely. So my son does it almost every night with Fortnite. But yeah, go by the website if you would, please, avnation.tv. That's avnation.tv. You'll find this program and a host of others, including two weekly programs. One is called Resi Week, looks at the residential side of the AV industry. AV Week looks at the commercial side. By the time this post, we will also have been announced two virtual conferences, the 7th and 8th of April and the 14th and 15th of April. We're calling it Learn From Home, LFH, Learn From Home While You Work From Home. And it's exactly what it sounds. It's 2 days of virtual business conferences. We'll have a number of keynote speakers as well as education, all for free. All you have to do is register on our website. So all that and more at avnation.tv. That's avnation.tv. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Time we have for ITAV.
I was really expecting to be introduced twice, and I had one lined up to be able to say, I'm so excited to be able to see you, Tim, and I'm so starved for any human contact. I'm even excited to see Drainer.
Oh!